It's so good to be here together, to hear all of you singing. And I know even with masks on, that's a little different, it's a little unique, but in one moment down there, I just stopped and I listened, and it was beautiful. It was awesome. And we're gathered together here, united in the Spirit. We learned that last week, and we're going to continue to live that out. And so as we begin this morning, I want to ask you a simple question. As you've walked through the doors this morning, think to yourself, what is something that you really enjoyed as you walked in? Or maybe it's something that you take for granted, something that you acknowledge is something really special about this place, or something that you really like about coming into this worship space. Just think to yourself about that. And then on the other hand, are there things that you walk into, the experience you walk into here, that maybe you don't enjoy so much? Or maybe there's something seems to be missing. There's like a missing link, or something's a little shaky. Maybe somebody's not doing something they should be. Well, that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. Because the experiences that you have as you walk into this place to worship God are put together by God equipping and empowering his very people. And so many of the things that work out in a good way that you take for granted often on the weekends is because somebody's behind the scenes sort of preparing it for you, setting the table for you, if you will. And those moments that you maybe walk in and you're like, it didn't go so hot. They could probably improve that part of their ministry. It's probably because either somebody isn't there to be able to do what needs to be done, or we're just limited in that area. And so I'm going to show you a little bit of an analogy about this, because it's really kind of easy to paint a picture with this. And so I acknowledge that this is like setting a table or preparing a place for you. And so I'm going to ask, I have four volunteers that I already talked to. And so you guys can come up here right now. I'm going to have you come up here and help me. So I got Sherry, I got Mason, I got Rodney, and I think Jeff over here somewhere. Why don't you guys come up here? All right, we're going to do a little something here. I don't usually do these kind of things, but I think this kind of paints the picture pretty clearly, all right? So you guys can stand like kind of front and center up there. I got this table here. All right. Now, I realize if I just left this table on the ground, this analogy would fall apart completely. But we're not going to do it that way. So can each of you just grab a leg and keep it elevated, all right? All right, great. So now I'm going to raise the stakes a little bit, okay? All right, yeah, this is good. I'll mute this while I... Let's just set it so it looks real pretty, you know, with some burlap. This is the natural choice of tablecloth these days, I think. I think this is what most of us have in our homes. It's very warm and warming, welcoming, and beautiful. Oh, let's just add a centerpiece of bread. Oh, that's nice. This is good. See how we're setting the table? We're preparing for a wonderful experience here. Great. Got to set the table, you know. All right. I won't tell you if these are, you know, real china or not. All right. We want the experience to be the best it can possibly be for everybody, right? Okay, fantastic. Here we go. Yep. All right, that's about all I got. So say this is a wonderfully prepared table. We're welcoming people in. Things are great. The table is very stable, right? And so let's just use children's ministry, for example. As you walk in, you check in your children over there. They're taken in. Everything runs smoothly and seamlessly. Everything's working really well. It's because there's people in place to do what needs to be done. But what happens if these four volunteers that need to make this happen are no longer available and one of them isn't available, or we never got the fourth one to begin with, right? So I'm going to ask Rodney, you can go have a seat. Thanks so much for your help. I can't even imagine how amazing this is for you. I mean, the experience, you're going to write it down in your journal from years to come. All right. So right, great. Okay, it still functions pretty well, right? It's pretty stable still. It's not too much. It can still happen. It can still function. People can walk in. They don't really realize that anything maybe is missing, right? Okay, great. Fantastic. But what happens, on the other hand, if, let's say, one more person's not available? Let's see what happens here. I told Mason you'd stay up longer, but I think for the sake of this, you're going to need to be the one to go. So I like your purple mask, by the way. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, now it's like it's still there, but it's getting a little shaky, right? So people maybe start walking in at this point and seeing that maybe all the pieces aren't in place that need to be. All right, that's fantastic. So who do I want this to happen to? You're usually the one that has to clean all of this stuff up. So I'm going to let you experience the weight of more than maybe you should, and you're going to try and be a man and hang it and hold it high. So why don't you go ahead and have a seat? Thank you so much, and let's see what happens here. Oh, it's tipping over. What happens? What happens if you remove one of your arms, one of your other hands? Is it? Is it really going to go down? Let's see. I don't believe you. Let go. What's happening? Oh, all right. Wow. Congratulations on being amazing. All right, all four of you. No, this is fantastic. It's a perfect example of what we're talking about today. All right, this is good. All right, so obviously this is a pretty simple elementary observation that when you don't have enough people in place, things tend to fall apart, right? And so that's sort of what we're going to look at this morning. Because we learned last week that each and every one of us, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are filled, we are united, and we are empowered in the Spirit to actually do something. And God wants to use each and every one of us as a part of the kingdom of God, as a part of building the kingdom of God. So, right now, in our church life, we are having people slowly return back to service, and it's been amazing. Service numbers are great. I'm going to move this stuff just a little bit out of the way. You know, we'll get it. There we go. All right. Fantastic. Yep. All right. Okay. All right. It's still a good picture. I like it messed up. All right. So, but the problem is this. A lot of people are starting to slowly come back, but few people are starting to step in and actually help and serve. And it's important. We need this reality. In fact, one of the things that's happening over the course of these past year, and not just with our church, but with churches all over the place, is that people are becoming more of a consumer of church than a contributor of church. And let me give you like a list of what that looks like. Consumers are spectators, and contributors are participants. Consumers see themselves as cisterns to store truth, and contributors see themselves as channels to bestow blessing. A consumer criticizes everything that doesn't line up with his or her preference. A contributor appreciates what God is doing in the church, even if it maybe doesn't fall in line with their personal preference. A consumer comes to sit and get. A contributor looks to go and serve. A consumer only takes in for themselves. A contributor pours out to others. Now, a lot of this is because so much is online now. We talked about it last week a little bit, and it's very easy to just sort of sit at home. You guys are all here. That's fantastic. And so you're stepping in the right direction, right? And I realize some people need to stay home for safety reasons. I completely get that. But there are a significant amount of people that are just using that as an excuse. And that's sort of what we want to talk about this morning. Because church is sort of restarting up. It's been doing that for the last few months, and it's starting to move in a phenomenal direction. But there are many tasks at hand that we do not have enough people to help with. And the early church experienced this very same thing. You see, in the early church in Acts, and we're in this unstoppable series, the church is growing, it's exploding exponentially. It's becoming this unstoppable force, but unfortunately, a lot of people are still sort of sitting on the sidelines and not really wanting to engage in the ministry that needs to take place. It was in a situation where those who were observing needed to get involved in a greater way. And so that's where we're going to find ourselves this morning as we read through Acts 6. And so I'm going to start with Acts 6, verse 1. It says this. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, some translations may call the Hellenistic Jews Grecian Jews, and the reality is that these Jews were coming in. They were most likely from a foreign land. They were coming in, but they were receiving Christ, understanding Christ, but they spoke a different language. The Hebraic Jews would have spoken Aramaic, and most people were giving and lending out to the needs of the Hebraic Jews because there was no language barrier. So it was pretty unintentional, most likely, but these Grecian Jews, these Hellenistic Jews, were being overlooked. And the ministry was taking a hit for it because all of a sudden now you have these widows that were all around and they needed food and they needed help and they needed shelter and they needed people to reach out to them. And now all of a sudden there was too much work for those who were there doing work. And the ones that were there doing work were the ones that were studying, the ones that were praying, were the ones preaching. And so this work was getting in the way of them doing what they're passionate about doing what they were called to do. Not minimizing the importance of what needed to happen to these widows, but there was too much for people to handle. And so in this verse, we get a glimpse of the rapid growth of the early church and the challenges that arise when growth occurs. And we're experiencing growth again here, and it's incredible. It's exciting to be a part of this. But we're sort of hitting this plateau as we can only go so far as we have people available to help move us forward. And so as people are coming back to church, our numbers are growing. There's many holes on our teams. Some of those holes include greeters. We don't really have ushers anymore because we don't really pass anything anymore, but we want people to be welcomed as they walk in to these doors. We're hoping to actually enhance that ministry and actually go out into the parking lot and have parking lot greeters and parking lot attendants at some point here. We're looking to expand and do some incredible things with our children's ministry, but we're very limited in who we have to help out in that area. And so we've kind of hit a wall in how far we can go with these ministries that God has clearly called us to do. The worship ministry is kind of has taken a hit over COVID. Many times you'll see we just have an acoustic set up here on the weekends. The beautiful thing is that this room lends itself so amazingly to those types of worship experiences that none of us really are bothered by that whatsoever. In fact, it's a beautiful experience for all of us. But we'd like to staff a full band here more often. And so there's these realities of people who are sort of falling through the cracks and these holes that are occurring because we're coming back to more work than we can handle. And it was the same in the early church. There was so much to be done, and to this point, there were not enough hands to accomplish all that needed to happen. But if we shift our focus and we think of it differently, what really was happening was that there was an abundance of opportunities for people to serve. There was an abundance of opportunity for people to serve in this early church. There is an abundance of opportunity for you and I to serve in the church today. So there's this issue at hand. These widows are being overlooked. So what happens? Well, let's look at verses 2 through 4. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." Now, that sounds sort of harsh, right? Especially if some of us in this room are servers. I was a server for several years. I actually somewhat miss it sometimes. But it doesn't diminish the importance of that. And so it continues. "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." You see, it wasn't really the primary responsibilities for the apostles to supervise the financial arrangements of the community or to take part in this food distribution. Their passion, their calling, their goal was to continue to preach the fact that Jesus Christ was just crucified, raised from the dead, defeated death, so that all of us can experience a saving relationship with him, in a redemptive relationship with God the Father. And so that's what they were continuing to pursue. That's what they were continuing to do. But these other needs were taking away from their ability to do those things. However, they still acknowledged the importance of those needs. They didn't want to diminish those, so they wanted to empower people who were ready to go. And so I think that's another thing today that we need to think about. Many of us are sitting in this room. We have received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We are united. He wants to empower us to do things. But we're just sort of sitting here not really ready to step up and do anything with it. Now, I want to also say this. There are seasons in life, absolutely, where it is good to just sit and receive, to sit and listen. It's okay. Maybe you're not even really fully sure if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ yet. I would encourage you to keep coming back. Sit here, listen, receive. There is nothing wrong with that. Where it becomes an issue is as you've already understood who Jesus is for you. You're fallen in love with Jesus. You realize that he is there and he is the savior of your world. And you just sort of stop there in your journey. It doesn't go anywhere. Or maybe you listen to the lies and the excuses that I'm not good enough, or they don't need anybody on the platform. They already have enough. I'm not good enough for that. They don't need anybody to do this. I'm not good with children. And you list all these excuses. But deep down inside, God wants to work through you and empower you to do some incredible things in the ministry that's taking place around here, in the ministry that's taking place in the community. So the apostles call on a new group of leaders to help meet the needs of the community. And we see this happen, this reaction take place in verses 5 and 6. It says this: "This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them." The apostles valued these individuals. God the Father valued these individuals, and most likely these individuals that they called into action spoke this language that they were having this barrier with. And so they were important. They prayed for them. They laid hands on them. This was not just a task that they wanted to write off as some insignificant thing they wanted to get off their plate. They wanted to empower these people to do some incredible things, to expand the ministry of God in profound ways. We can do that same thing here. God calls us into that same thing here as well at Watermark, and specifically even at South Creek. As we have looked over the course of the past 15 years on a larger scale, if we look at this sort of mindset, Watermark is parked with a significant amount of ministries and organizations through Heart Check and through all sorts of different campaigns to work with ministries so that we can have what is known as a triple win effect. Now, I'm not talking about the triple win in the Office episode with the conflict resolution. If you know what I'm talking about, it's hilarious. I'm not really in that realm of reality right now. But this triple win thing, it's real. It's where when two organizations partner, when Watermark and another organization partner, there's these three wins that take place. The project advances of the mission of the organization A, maybe Watermark. The project advances of the mission of organization B, a partner ministry in the city, such as Jericho Road. And then win three, the project advances of the mission of God in our region. It's this multifaceted win when people work together for the greater good of the kingdom of God. A really interesting example for us is just across the street, Operation Good Neighbor is a food and clothing pantry that we partner with and we do things with throughout the year. Over the winter, they usually do a coat distribution where the people can come in, they can grab food, and if they need jackets or clothing, they can go and get them for free for the winter months. But because of COVID, they couldn't allow people inside their facility, and so we partnered with them, we brought the jackets over here, we allowed people into the school building to come and look through and get these jackets. It was a beautiful partnership in which we were advancing the ministry that was taking place over at Operation Good Neighbor. We were having a foothold in the community. Our awareness was being made known. It was an incredible opportunity for us to build a relationship with that organization. So there's another win. And the overall mission and kingdom of God as we're reaching out to widows and those in need was taking place between the collaboration of both organizations. And so this happens all the time. But on a smaller local level within the walls of this church, the same thing can happen. The same thing was happening in the early church. The win was for the apostles because they could continue the ministry of the word. There was a win for the widows because they would be receiving what they needed. Now there was no longer a language barrier, anything in place to get in their way. Everybody was being cared for. And then we see in verse 7, the biggest win of all. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. You may think a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Remember, this is the early moments that the church is being born. There were priests that were stuck and held in the Old Testament, Old Covenant. But now through the ability of these apostles able to spread the word of Jesus Christ and who he is, more and more Old Covenant priests were coming into a New Covenant relationship with Jesus Christ through the power and empowering of the Holy Spirit. It was an incredible thing that was taking place. And that very same thing can happen here. But I think what happens is we all often think, well, that's great, but what more is there? Here's the thing. It's not just a triple win. It's a multifaceted, multiplication type of win. There are so many wins on every level when each and every one of us get involved in the kingdom of God, get involved in ministry in some way, shape, or form. We see even a fourth win take place. You see, the interesting truth about serving is that as you serve others, you tend to get more out of it than you actually put in. And I think so many of us don't really want to fully believe that. I've taken dozens of trips overseas on missions trips, on larger scale serving events. And every time, without doubt, if anybody went on that trip and truly gave it their all, they didn't just sit on the sidelines, but they stepped in intentionally with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Without doubt, every time, they would always come back and say, I received so much more than I could have possibly ever given. And every time I go over, every time I serve in the community, it's the same. This additional win, this fourth win, is the fact that you and I, and we talked about this a few weeks ago at the end of the 100-day challenge, we experience purpose. We experience value and meaning the way that God has intended us as we step into service, as we step into actually being a part of the expansion of the kingdom of God. I've had many conversations over throughout COVID, and some just very recently, of people who have come to me and they're like, you know what, it's almost a cliche at this point. I don't get filled up anymore at church. I'm not getting what I feel like I need. I'm not feeling like I'm being given any life of any sort. I feel stagnant, I feel dead. And every single time I ask them, are you serving? And they're like, well, no, I'm not doing that. Because the reality is that all of us can sit in this room week after week after week after week, and the message can be fantastic or not. The worship can be outstanding or not. And those things, God can work through all of that in any way, shape, or form. But when you are able to initially and intentionally take it to the next level by actually stepping out and serving the way God has intended, your fulfillment will increase beyond more than you could ever imagine or know. That is what God wants from each and every one of us. And so we have opportunities here. In fact, I want to show you the story of this being fulfilled, experiencing meaning and purpose in volunteering. Many of you know Mr. Steve LaWonka in the back here, and he's got a story to share that I'm going to let this video speak for, and then I'll follow up with it in just a minute. Check this out.
I had heard that they needed people to help with, you know, all the tech behind the scenes. I wasn't serving regularly or routinely, so it just seemed like an opportunity that, sure, I could do that. There's no reason I can't do that. Hi, I'm Steve LaWonka. I've been attending Watermark for about 10 years, and I serve in the production area over at South Creek. Today, at the moment, we have, including myself, a team of 8 at South Creek. We have different ages, we have different backgrounds. For myself, and I'm sure others on the team, maybe we don't want to be up on the platform or the microphone, but there's certainly a place for us making sure everything we see on a Sunday happens, and happens well. It reminds me of one of the final weeks of the 100-Day Challenge series where we were talking about work. And I can honestly say that volunteering in the production area at Watermark has helped me find that area that God has wired me for. It's been a chance to just to have a deeper connection with other Christ followers, with some of our campus pastors, building relationships. There's nothing quite as exciting to work alongside somebody serving the church. Making services happen each week is a very valuable thing to our church family, to our community, for people's salvation to come here and connect and learn about Jesus and take a step in their faith. So for me, it's just been rewarding to be a part of that, a small part of that. I'm excited for it each week, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
Perhaps I've been wasting my life. I don't know.
you gotta love the humor, right? Yeah. Seriously, though, first of all, I just want to publicly thank Steve for all of his work here. It's outstanding. And I think this morning is actually an incredible example of all of this playing out. Let me explain a little bit as to why. First of all, Steve's back there. He's mentoring. He's discipling. There's children back there running the show this morning along with him. The band up here this morning is phenomenal. They're tight. There's chemistry between them. There's chemistry between them, between the sound engineers and everything. And the funny thing is, this morning as we showed up, all of the things that run this service behind the scenes were no longer there. Like, they were eliminated. Something happened with the internet. All of the files were broken and gone. And so none of you, I can almost guarantee, noticed anything was wrong. But behind the scenes, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, it could have looked like this morning. But it didn't, because there are people that have stepped up. There are people that have served in remarkable ways. There are people that have poured into the ministry that is taking place here at Watermark, at South Creek. And because of that chemistry, because of that willingness, because of that ability for them to be able to sense this purpose and meaning and love it, we didn't skip a beat. And that's amazing to me. The same thing often happens in children's ministry and as we greet people. I've seen people greet people, welcome people, give up their seats for people in the room. That's the mentality that we want people to have as they walk into these rooms. And so we don't want to hold back any ways for you to get engaged and involved. We want you to be a part of what's going on here. We're going to have some tables over there, as you can see. We're going to have a couple people. Allison's going to be over there representing children's ministry. Sherry's going to be over there representing greeters. And we want to maybe get some parking lot attendants in the future. If you are interested in being a musician of any sort, of any form, I can connect you with who you need to connect to in that way. We can get you engaged. We want you to be engaged. The time is to step in and be an intentional part of what's going on around here. Now, as I continue, I do want to still say this. As I mentioned at the beginning, maybe you're not at a point where that is realistically a part where you need to, something you need to do right now. Maybe you're still exploring what it means to be a Christian. Maybe you're in a compromising health situation, or maybe family situations and kids, just it's crazy and chaotic, and you just can't step into that right now. That's okay. I'm giving you the blessing not to feel condemned and pressured into doing something that maybe just isn't the right season for you. Who I'm speaking to this morning are those of you who are sitting here. You know you've got time. You know you could be a part of this, but you've just sort of been listening to the lies. You've slowly been inching into consumerism when it comes to being a part of the church. We want to call you to something greater, because you will experience meaningful purpose and fulfillment through it. I can promise you and guarantee you. Steve's just one story. We have so many stories just like this, and we want you to be a part of that as well. And so we're going to continue doing this over the course of the next couple weeks. You know, maybe you need a week to pray through this. By all means, do that. I don't want to rush you or pressure you into anything, but we want to see this campus make a mark in this community. We want people to feel welcomed as they walk in these doors. We want people to more than anything understand who Jesus Christ is and the fact that he has died and rose again, defeating death, so that they can be in right relationship with him. And we want each and every one of you in the right seat on the bus. And if you're here this morning and you have been serving, I just want to publicly, again, thank you. Thank you for your dedication. Thank you for your willingness. And thank you for your sacrifice, because it is a sacrifice at times. I'm not going to say that's not the case, but thank you. Because we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for those of you who are serving. There are tasks around here that need to be done by paid staff. There are. But there are so many incredible opportunities for all of us to get involved on a volunteer basis. What we call ministry partners. We would love for you to get engaged. Because the reality is that as you've been sitting in here, somebody has set the table for you to experience what you're experiencing. Somebody behind the scenes, somebody along the way has been a link in this chain to set the table to prepare for you to be a part of the ministry that takes place here. And wouldn't it be amazing if you as well could be a part of this? Matthew 9, 35 through 38 says this. This is Jesus. Went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." There is plenty to be done around here. plenty to be done around here, and we need more people to step in and be a part of that reality. You could be setting the table for somebody who has not yet walked into here. You could be the leg that stabilizes this table so that people can truly experience what God wants to show them and reveal to him. Ultimately, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will do all of this. And we'll never forsake or forget or take that for granted. But he's unified us, he's united us, and he wants to empower and work through us as a congregation. And I hope and pray that you would experience that same reality for yourself. This morning, we're going to share together communion. The fact that Jesus himself really set this table the final night before he was crucified to show and demonstrate to his disciples what it means to serve, as he demonstrated that by washing their feet, and then allowing them to remember who he is and why he is there. And so we're going to do this together at this moment. I'm going to sort of tidy up as I as I get ready. So we're going to pick this table back up and redeem it a little bit. As Jesus himself shared a final meal with his disciples that evening, and we're going to remember that together this morning. We practice open communion here. You do not have to be a member of this church. You can be visiting this morning to partake in communion with us, but we do ask that you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, that you believe that his blood was shed for your sins so that you could be in right relationship with God the Father this morning. And maybe this morning you're still wondering or you're still dealing with that decision. This would be a phenomenal time to maybe make that decision for the first time, to step into this journey, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up, to unify you with brothers and sisters in Christ, and to allow him to begin the process of empowering you into ministry. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, there's walls up, I'm not ready to serve, I don't want to do this. Look, we're asking for like an hour a month in some of these situations. But God wants to use you in a powerful way. He wants Watermark to win and be able to do the ministry it needs to do. He wants the kingdom of God to expand so people can come into a saving knowledge of him. He wants you to feel fulfillment and purpose and meaning as you step into serving. And what better way to remember that than by taking communion together? So that final night after he sat together with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. He gave thanks. And he said, this represents my body broken for you, in place of you. Take this and eat in remembrance of me. And then after the meal, he takes the wine and he says, this represents my blood spilled out for you, representing a new covenant. I have come to fulfill and accomplish the law of the Old Testament that no human being could do. I have come to fulfill that, to prove it by dying on the cross and solidifying it through my resurrection. Take this and drink in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you this morning. Lord, we ask that you would, not out of a spirit of condemnation, not out of a spirit of obligation, but Lord, if you are calling us to step up in the smallest of ways, that you would release us, that your spirit would work through us and empower us like we learned last week. Lord, we love you. praise you. We acknowledge that you are who you say you are and that we are who you say we are, children of the living God. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.